Praise the Lord. If you're with us here today and you have your Bibles, yes, you. If you would, if you could, my brother and my sister, won't you please join us in the Old Testament book of Ruth. Today we're going to read from Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, if you have it. Just please go ahead and say amen. We'll read together, if you don't mind. Have you been able to find it? At Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is the word, what the word of the Lord says. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither though thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou goest, will I die. Well, thou diest, rather, I'll die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left, speaking unto her. And we're going to hear a message from the sermon subject today, Faith of Our Mothers. Praise the Lord. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee, oh, I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour, I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the sound I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known, none other has ever known. Praise the Lord. Once again, my brothers and my sisters, the word of the Lord comes to us today from the Old Testament book of Ruth at Ruth chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, we read these words, and if you don't mind, give me a second. I'm going to my pre-printed notes here. Amen. And so at Ruth chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, the word of God comes to us and says this: "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she rose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters with her. They went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, I should have a husband as also tonight. He shall also bear sons. Would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, my sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, thy lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Let us pray. Eternal God, we bless you, and we thank you again, God, for this preaching opportunity. We thank you, God, for these people, for your son, Jesus Christ, for his precious blood, and the fact that there is yet still power in the blood of Jesus to save the sin-sick soul. We ask this in a name that is like no other name, for at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess of the things above the earth and the things below the earth and the things beneath the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Hello, everybody. How you all doing? How's everybody? It's good to be here. It's good to see you. First, giving honor to God, who's first and foremost in my life, to his son, Jesus Christ, who did die on the cross of Calvary for our sins, and to the Holy Spirit, who is even now leading us and guiding us into all truth. And to these fine preachers, these ministers of the gospel who are here, and to my good friend, Butch Chevalier, we give God glory. To my wonderful and beautiful wife, isn't she lovely? To my wife, Michelle, to all of these ladies who are here, these ministers and pastors and elders, wives, I say hello to you, and to all these mothers that are here today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you as well. To my own mother, I say this to her every time. I always love my mama. She's my favorite girl. Here she is. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good day, my brothers and my sisters. Today I have a brief but important job to do. Listen, before I because I have a commission, I'll say a directive, which is to preach the gospel in season and out of season. That is to say, when people want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it. And a keen awareness that many of us who are not sitting here with our mothers will be trying to get to see her sometime today. Or we'll be trying to get to some quiet place in order to remember her. It's still important that we remain focused and we preach the gospel. But it's extra important during these days when men do not want to hear and do not have the patience for sound preaching. I need to tell you about Jesus Christ and his dying sacrifice on Calvary's cross to pay the purchase price of our redemption and his recovering from the grave, his resurrection from the grave. But at the same time, I have the cause of reminding you of how the faith of our mothers, in many cases, brought us here today. All of this has to be done before your car engines cool down because you are ready to go to have something to eat. The day is far spent already. It's 11:25, and we haven't gotten there yet. So we arrive at this book that bears the name of a woman because of the faith that welled up inside of her and her important position in the earthly lineage of our Savior. I hope that I can get this properly and leave you ready to give God praise when you leave out of these doors. She was a Moabitess, according to Genesis chapter 19, verses 30 to 38. The ancestor of the Moabites was Lot, and he was their ancestor by incest with his elder daughter. She and her sister, having lost their fiancés and their mother in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. You all remember Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you? Decided to continue their father's line through intercourse with their father. The elder got him drunk to facilitate the deed and conceived Moab. The younger daughter did the same and conceived a son and named him Ben-Ammi, who became ancestor of the Ammonites. The gods of the Moabites were Chemosh and many other false gods, including Baal. Please stay with me, my brother, my sister. We're still talking about faith of our mothers. Amen. As described in our book, Elimelech, who eventually became Ruth's father-in-law, moved his family, his wife, Naomi, and two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, into Moab due to famine at home. Circumstances drive us to places that only God's mighty hand can keep us. Can we try that again? Just someone should have said amen on that. Circumstances in life drive us to places where only God's mighty hand can keep us. It's all providence, you see. We need to know it. It's providence. There's not a place where God's grace does not follow behind us. If we get the scriptures right, this is what the psalmist said at Psalm 139, verses 8 through 13. If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. We're still talking about faith of our mother. Sometimes I wonder about the mercy and the grace that follows us when trouble passes by. Sometimes I wonder about that. I just think about the fact that mercy and grace are still following me. And if David is right about it, all of the days of my life. Are you there with me, somebody? I just want to say hallelujah in here because we're going through, we're facing difficulty and hardship, but somebody's following me. Something is following me. Something, someone has been commissioned by God. Even God himself has said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So in trouble, he's behind me. And even in a desperate position, in a desperate land, because there's no food at home. That's enough. I'm ready to go get in my car right now, because I'm just thinking about the fact that even now, mercy and grace, grace and mercy are following us. According to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 2, the Israelites were instructed not to marry into the Moabite and the Ammonite families. This is what the scripture says. No one of the illegitimate birth may enter the assembly of the Lord, nor may any of his descendants, even to the 10th generation. No Ammonite or Moabite or any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. For they did meet you with food, for they did not meet you with food and water on your way out of Egypt, and they hired Balaam, son of Beor, from Pethor in Aram-Naharaim to curse you. Still, Mahlon and Chilion found wives of the Moabites. The biblical account from Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 reads this way. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And he came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons, and he took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Family relationships through marriage are wonderful, aren't they? They really are. They add opportunities to tell stories again and to pass along wisdom. I can't imagine that any marriage can survive without sharing the who, what, where, why, and how the wedded couple got together. I see a couple of you just looking at each other right now. I'm not quite sure where you came from. I'm not sure why. I don't even know how. But you're sitting here. Praise the Lord. There's the part that you have to share before the first dinner, right? With Dad. That's the uncomfortable part, right? But you have to share it. Now, Dad drives a Chevy, so don't go mentioning Fords. Or Dad's an ex-Marine. Don't mention the fact that you're a pacifist. And that's just for the guys. When it comes to mom, there's another level. I don't know really too much about this. I can tell you that that when my wife found out that my mother was able to make the best macaroni and cheese on the entire planet, y'all check her right there. My wife adopted my mother's recipe and began just bastardizing it. No, she made wonderful macaroni and cheese. She put her own flair into it, but I would always long for my mother's macaroni and cheese. Sons do stuff like this. Right? We talk about our mother's way with words, how she grew up, and what in our minds makes our mothers tick. This is not the Bible, but I imagine that there was enough there for Orpah and Ruth to say, I'm in. I can only imagine, too, that Naomi might have shared about her people and about her God. Perhaps it was the retelling of God's miraculous work in their common ancestor Lot, or in the bringing Abraham and Sarah a child in Isaac, that one might have gotten a joyful laugh. Y'all recall that, right? Sarah laughed at what God said he was about to do. I suppose that maybe Ruth finding that in among the repertoire of things that her husband might have shared might have caused her to laugh as well. Or maybe it might have been Joseph's journey from the pit to the palace. Y'all recall that? That might have made Ruth say, okay, I'm in. There's a faith builder and a reason to trust God when things turn around. Still, maybe it was something about Moses' childhood, something about his banishment from Egypt or return and using by God to deliver the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt. Maybe that's what did it. And we're still talking about the faith of our mothers. Y'all still here with me, right? But whatever it is, the death of a husband could break this bond. And the foundation seems to be the God of Naomi. Oh, can you imagine the wrenching pain that those three women must have faced? An uncertain future, but a God who holds it. I can't imagine what you are facing right now, what we are going through right now, an uncertain future. We have no idea what we'll face when we leave out of this door, but we have a God who holds it. Is that all right? We don't even know if we'll make it to our cars this morning. It's still morning. We have no idea if we'll be able to make it home again. Don't know what our future is, but we have a God who holds it. That's enough too for me to go home and think about. There is a God who knows my future. There's a God who has shaped it. He knows the beginning from the end. But here, Naomi must have shared some value, some understanding, some wisdom must have come to Ruth for her to place faith in the God of this woman. The husband had died, but there was news. At home in Judah, the Lord had visited. The word says it this way: then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her daughters-in-law, go, return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you, ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed him, and they lifted up their voice, and they wept. I can only imagine the depth of this weeping. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. I want to just stop right there in the reading. And this is not anything that I've thought about before. But there are people that we meet in life that draw our attention. There are people in life that we meet that fascinate us. There are persons of value that we have met along the way There may not be many for you, but there's somebody that you met in your life that you grabbed a hold of. I remember as a young man at Morris Brown AME Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I clove to my pastor. I remember Dr. Kelsey Keys. I remember going into his office. I remember being a little boy and being excited about the fact that there was a floor model television in his office. We couldn't turn it on. But I clave to my pastor. I remember when my pastor died and the wonder of who would next fill his shoes. I remember Reverend Dr. Vernon Bird coming to the church and the contradiction that existed inside of our church during his pastorship. But I also remember that on one Sunday morning, little Michael Rogers went up when they said the doors of the church are open. I looked quickly to make sure the doors of the church were actually open. And I made my way up to the pulpit and gave my life to Jesus Christ. I clave to him. I am holding to his cross today. I'm cleaving to his name. I'm cleaving to the bloodstained banner today. There must be somebody that has come into your life because you're here today. Somewhere along the line, someone has impacted you. Somewhere along the line, someone has said something to you that said you must be. You've got to be born again, born of the water and of the spirit. This for me was my pastor by way of that one sitting right there. She would not yield. She would not give up. When we had contradictions at home, she kept on praying. When we had difficulties at home, she kept on fasting. When my father didn't want to take us to church, she kept on informing him, if you want to have me and these kids in the house tonight, you're going to take us up to 25th and Montgomery right now. And guess what? Somehow we'd arrive there. God is good, everybody, and greatly to be praised. Ruth clave to her mother-in-law. There's something about this relationship that changed the life of Ruth. And she said, verse 15 says, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee." Stop saying that. Stop saying that. "For whither thou go, I'll go." And this is difficult, because their path has already led from Bethlehem, Judah. Ruth's path has led her to someone that has had to leave her home and to leave her people. There must be something greater than the hardship that is surely to come in life that will lead you and me to cleave to someone. There must be something greater than expectation. There must be a true love. For you to turn and say, "Whither thou go, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And thy God, my God, whither thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. And the Lord do also and more to me and more also, if aught but death part me and thee." No. So Naomi began the process of going back to Judah at the news that the famine was over. It's immensely satisfying that Naomi didn't attribute bread to happenstance, not to luck or the way things work out. She attributed it to the move of God. We know that God supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Still, it seems like Naomi wanted to be certain that her daughters-in-law really wanted to leave Moab. And so she asked them, to go back. I'm about to take my seat. Now, church family, the wheels are off. Nothing that we have relied on still stands but our God. We live in a nation of immense difficulties, division, sadness. We live in a nation where even Christ would have to ask the question, when he returns, will there even be faith in the world? But I still recall the cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. I still remember. If none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. I remember Mama. She would take us kids down into the basement of our home. From the time that I was even tall enough to go down a pair of steps. Y'all know what it's like to look at the steps and wonder if your legs were capable of reaching up there. Down there, she taught my brother, my sisters, and I the rudiments of the faith. And about God's Son, Jesus Christ. She taught us the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Can I use this few moments to ask you to recall that woman, that mother? You may not have a recollection of your biological mother or even a faint memory of any word that she said, but there was someone, there was some woman that mothered upon you. There was somebody that made sure that little you got to sleep at night. There was someone that made sure that little you got your shoes on your feet and got them laced up. There was someone along the way. It might have been a teacher. It might have been an aunt or a grandmother. Many of us recall more about our grandmothers than our own mothers because our own mothers were out working. I still remember Carrie Ardelia Johnson. I still remember going to North Philadelphia and washing her alabaster steps down with Comet Cleanser. I still remember my father's mother, Elizabeth Armstrong, who had difficulties making hot dogs, who could just about boil water without getting us sick. Just about. We still got sick from it. But God is good. Can I say this? This is what I remember about Mama. And I'll take this. And I'll go ahead and take my seat. I still remember this. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. And he will direct your path. I still remember this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I still remember this. Where my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord shall take me up. That's what you taught me. You taught me that. I still remember this. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait. Again, I say on the Lord, he will strengthen thine heart. As the deer panteth for the water brooks, so my heart looks after thee. I still remember this. I still remember this. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like an eagle. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not faint. I still remember this. I still, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto you. And so one great day, my mother will turn over these troubles. Weeping will have endured for a night, but joy will have come in the morning. They'll have an epitaph. They'll say, here lies Michael's mom. She's only known because of how she took care of him. She loved him more than the others. They were just conveniently located and biologically and genealogically ahead of him, but he was the greatest and the last. For what will matter will not be what is carved in stone. He's making diamonds out of dust. That's a diamond. He's making diamonds out of dust. If you've been here with us today, it's not about mama. It's about the faith of our mothers. It's about the faith of mama that led you to the cross of Jesus. If you haven't heard about it, on the hills far away stood an old rugged cross. It was the emblem of suffering and of shame. But I still love that old cross, because on it, the dearest and the best for a world of lost sinners was slain. I came to Jesus just as I was. I was weary, I was wounded, and I was sad, but I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. So many people doubt him, but I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. My mother wondered why I keep hanging around her, why I keep coming down her steps, why I keep pitter-pattering around. It's because of the faith. And it's because of Jesus that she introduced me to. I ain't going to tell y'all how long. I'm a 58-year-old man. I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I was 9 years old. If you don't know Jesus today and your pardon of your sins, I submit to you the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star, the rose of Sharon, the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, Jacob Shiloh, Moses' angel in a burning bush, Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of the wheel. If you don't know him, come to Jesus. Not for you. Not because he makes you feel good. Not because he's conveniently located and he brings you stuff. But come to Jesus because you owe him your worship. Come to Jesus because he is God. And he has done all that he possibly could. He has died on the cross of Calvary. And I'm so glad about it. He ever lives to make intercession for his own. Lord, now we've come and we've done all that you could ask, that you have asked for us to do. We ask a blessing for these people, for this family. We ask a blessing for these ministers of the gospel and for these few members, God, we ask that you would just receive this offering of our worship, that when we go out from this place, God, that you will cause these words, God, not just to be words to store up in their minds, God, but their hearts will be opened that the words walk. That when circumstances come our way, we know that there's a God that knows our future, who can do anything but fail. God, we bless you. And we thank you. We ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus, who is the Christ. And somebody join with me and say amen. 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 Hallelujah. God bless y'all. I'm going to be over here at the door as we head out. It's been my desire and custom to meet a few more of you. So as the word has been preached, we'll go out from this place. You all have a wonderful day. Hallelujah.